Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to the interview from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
Holy exploding shark, Batman.
Holy exploding shark. I love it.
What's yellow and you can write with? A ballpoint banana.
I saw your Instagram thing about that earlier.
I was just like, I don't remember. Okay, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it now. Like, we're doing Batman the movie from 1966.
Yeah.
On this episode of Rundown Reviews.
So I'm pretty sure that the sparrow with a machine gun will pop up in Blank Man also.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Dude, it's been forever since I've seen
it. It's been a while, but I'm pretty sure that's the thing that spoofed it, but I'm not 100%.
Okay. We'll find that out in the future. But yeah, so today we are reviewing Batman from 1966. Myself, I'm Joe. I got Ron here,
hey, co-host.
And special guest today, we've got Big Chuck from the Elite Eight Showdown.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I'm so excited to be here. I am so excited to talk about my nostalgia and my love for Adam West Batman, and then how it was absolutely destroyed this morning when I watched this movie.
Dude. Yeah.
Anybody else think he gave off Shatner vibes?
Yeah.
A wee bit.
Yeah. Okay. Wee bit. It felt like full Shatner. I was like, I didn't know if that was what he was trying to do or what happened, but I don't ever remember the show being like that.
The original Star Trek came out in, what, 65?
Sure.
Sounds right. Yeah.
Hell. Yeah, you can't look up. No, it was okay, it was 60s, so yeah, they could have been playing off each other, probably. It's possible.
Who knows?
I don't know. But this, obviously, all three of us have watched this before.
Yes. This is the first of our movies that we've watched on the thing that I've actually seen before. We watched it here.
Charlie, do you remember when you watched it? The last time you watched this movie?
Oh, man. The last time I watched this movie, I think, was also the first time I'd ever seen this movie, which was, I had to be 14 or 15, something like that. And I only had watched it because all of my, like, D&D friends were way older than me. Like, I was the young kid that they were, like, trying to shape and morph into, like, the next embodiment to carry on their group, right? Like, that's what I was. And they were huge 1966 Adam West Batman fans. Like, that's what they grew up watching. That's what they loved. So they showed me the movie. They're like, oh, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. And I did. Like, I love over-the-top campy Batman. I don't like, I appreciate the grim, you know, dark style Batman that we get nowadays and things like that. But yeah. I like, my first exposure to Batman was the animated series and then Adam West Batman. So like, I loved this movie when it came out because it was just so ridiculous and over the top. And I was just like, oh no, I fucking get it. Like, it's sure, it's satire. Why not? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm just being obsessed with like the idea of just how crazy and awkward and like weird it was. And of course they loved it, right? Because they were like, oh, yeah, this is our childhood all rolled up into a movie. And the budget was insane for that time and this and that and everything else. And it was like,
and we'll get into that in a bit, but yes.
Hey, training sharks is expensive.
Making sharks blow up is expensive.
Yeah.
Goddamn PETA breathing down your neck.
Ron, do you remember last time you watched this?
I'm pretty sure that I was 10 or 11 years old. I remember because it was on HBO. After I'd moved, or when I still lived with my mom.
Okay.
So it would have been up at the lake. And I remember watching it in the basement on HBO and I'm like, what the shit? And it was great.
Right.
And then I watched it again today.
we'll get into that too. We'll get our ratings,
our
1 to 10 rating here later on. Same. I think I had to have been around 10 years old. I think we had it on VHS. Because that would be around the time my dad would beep.
I don't know.
We all heard that, right?
Yeah. No, that was me. Okay. Me in my room just beeped. I just don't know what it was.
Oh, okay.
It scared me. Okay. We're good.
Yeah, you're good. My dad would record stuff, record off movies. TV. Well, on TV.
We had a whole set.
I think everybody did in the '90s,
of course.
Mm-hmm. And I remember the end of the movie specifically. I don't really remember the rest of the movie.
I don't remember the first part at all.
Correct. So, but I had seen this movie before, and I enjoyed it for the time. As for the TV show, I think I caught episodes here and there on rerun. But I don't think I ever watched the full series. But when I talk about the series, we're talking about the movie.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And this movie itself, it had a budget of $1.37 million to $1.5 million.
Which is absurd for that time. Like, for that era.
There's a reason, too, and I'll get to that here in a second. The box office allegedly had $3.9 million. On here it says with rentals, so I don't know if they have, adjusted for like inflation or for the years. I'm not entirely sure, but apparently it's doubled, so it made money. Mm-hmm. But to your point, Chuck, the reason why it had such a big budget, they made the movie in between season one and two, and that was the height of the Batman 66. Like Batman was wonderful and everybody loved it. So they pumped money into it like crazy to the point where they were able to get a bat boat and bat plane. Like they rented the boats and planes and were able to mock it up like bat vehicles.
You mean they didn't come like that off the shelf?
They should have. Been nice. Okay. So the cast here, obviously we've got Adam West as Bruce Wayne and Batman.
No way. Bruce Wayne's Batman.
What? We got Burt Ward as Dick Grayson, Robin. We have Lee Merriweather as Catwoman. Now, Lee Merriweather, she's the second Catwoman.
Yes.
Julie Newmar was the first one. Allegedly, looking into why Julie was not in this one, she had no idea they were going to do this movie, and she had already signed on in between seasons to do a whole nother different movie that apparently flopped. I shouldn't say flopped. She couldn't get out a contract for that movie, so they got Lee, and then that movie just never got made. So she kind of got screwed.
Mm.
We got Cesar Romero as the Joker.
As the mustache.
The mustache.
Oh my god, that mustache. Look,
hold on. If you have enough star power to be like, I'm not shaving my mustache, makeup over it. Good on him, man.
Hey, at least it wasn't CGI'd over.
Fuck you. We will get there.
I actually had written in my notes, Joker's mustache is taking me directly out of the scene, but I don't remember specifically what scene it was. I think it was when we first met the guy that they have taken captive. Joker like brings in the tea and stuff. And I was just like, I don't even know what's happening in this because that mustache is so freaking distracting. I don't even know what's happening.
But, I mean, again, good on him for sticking to his guns. Like, no, I'm not shaving this mustache.
My authority is derived from right here.
I mean, it was. Cesar Romano was an amazing Joker, from what I can remember. I mean, from watching this, I don't think he did much, and we'll touch on that when we go through our notes. But anyway, Burgess Meredith was the Penguin, which, I mean, so the rest of these guys obviously were part of the show. Adam West has done voice work. Like crazy. Burt Ward has done voice work since this show. The rest of them, I know they were big stars prior. Apparently, Lee Merriweather was the 1955 Miss America. So that's pretty cool. But Burgess Meredith, I mean, he's Rocky's trainer. Like, that's the first place I saw him.
Yep, same here.
We got Frank Gorshin as the Riddler. Yep. Alan Napier as Alfred, Neil Hamilton as Commissioner James Gordon. Good for him. Stafford Rep as the Chief O'Hara. And then Reginald Denny as Commodore Schmidlump. Whatever how you say his damn name.
Schmidlump.
Schmidlump. I like the cast. I mean, obviously it's lifted straight from the show with the exception of
Catwoman.
I'm frozen. I love it. Am I frozen on your guys' screen?
Yay, Frozen.
I don't have pictures on mine again.
Again? Yeah, it sucks for you.
Yeah, I've got Africa on one of them and maybe a map of
that's a street.
Yeah.
Middle of the street. Anyway, I don't know why it's messing up here.
Audio's fine. Whatever. Just video.
Yeah, I don't do video, so as long as I got audio, we're good.
Yep.
We had the same problem when we were podcasting during the quarantine. Your person would be like 5 minutes behind whatever you were saying, and everybody else's was okay.
Yeah, but this seems worse. Like, I'm actually freezing. Well, it wasn't just like a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Neither one of us are freezing on
exactly.
Yours,
so I don't know what's going on with us. That's besides the point. Whatever. We'll work on that later.
Anywho.
Let's see here. Do you want to go into your... Let's go into your the breakdown of... Yeah,
the quick take. Iconic music plays. A yacht disappears. There's a shark attack. A shark explodes. Super detectives do super detective things. There's some bat seduction. Then there was a Bruce napping. And an escape. Some more detective work. Capers and conundrums and comic book logic, which we'll get into later.
What the big goes in a bit.
Oh, yeah. And then we get a naval battle. And then we get a on top of a submarine battle, which would you consider that a what the hell is it called when pirates boarding? Would you consider it a boarding?
Yeah, because they didn't ask to come on board.
There you go. Yeah. And victory, you know,
victory. So Chuck, go ahead and give us some of your favorite scenes of the show.
Okay. So I had made some overall notes about the entire thing, and then I kind of broke it down, and then I stopped writing because I was just like, at this point, there's no point in me writing notes anymore. This is just so absurd. But like little things that I had mentioned that I thought was interesting was that opening thank you that was like written on the walls was like really weird. And just like I thought that was going to set the tone for just how freaking awkward this movie was going to be. And I was right. and I forgot about all the bat puns, right? Like I forgot that like, everything, which is, I mean, they were really trying, right? Like that bat there, he figured out the bat angles or whatever for them to be able to land the chopper and stuff like that. I was cracking up at that. and of course, you know, the most famous Batmobile on the planet, like that is my Batmobile. Like that's I love all the Batmobile, but that one is just so iconic. In fact, there was a local guy who spent over $100,000 to get the licensing to recreate and get the shape for that. And he had it at like this brewery that he owned. And I remember driving past it and literally almost causing two accidents to turn around and go look at it and park and check it out and get my photo next to it. And yeah, it was awesome. I don't ever know what happened to that thing, but it was.
We had ours taken with the real one.
But
at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's dope.
Well, yeah, cons, of course, are going to have the real ones.
Yeah.
Or replicas.
Had the real Batman and Robin, too. Real old.
That's true, yes. Adam West and Burt Ward, what was that, our second or third?
I think it was 2016 or 2017, so it would have been like our third one, I think.
They were up here in Indy for the Comic-Con, just, you know, for a con. There was, I heard some interesting things, but at the same time, you know, they were old, they didn't give a fuck. They're here, they know why they're there.
Exactly.
But yeah, they were there for
the picture, I'll sign it, and I get the fuck out of here.
let's see. I've got, you know, so this is obviously different than most Batman movies we'll get from this point on.
just a little bit.
Well, a couple of things. One, Gotham City loves Batman versus every other movie where Batman is like hated. Or
if not hated, just, you know, he's definitely not deputized.
Correct. Also, I lost it. I had something, but I lost it. Fuck it.
Batman definitely did not work his time in the bomb disposal unit.
Dude, look, that shark. Well, yes.
You're talking about the bomb over the head.
That was amazing. Like, he goes over to throw it out the window, and then there's people there. Well, can't throw that where.
The 10 minutes of him carrying around the bomb, trying to find a place to throw it.
Look, okay, so you got a boat here off the pier. Throw it over there. Throw it, like, to the right. It'll make them wet. Oh, no.
Look.
They're already wet. They're making out.
You grab the baby out of the baby carriage, you throw it in the baby carriage, and then kick it down the pier.
And that's the real villains. I wrote that down. The real villains were the marching band that apparently followed Batman, the nuns that were always around the corner, and that baby carriage the mom was pushing was always in his way. Those are the real villains.
Yep. There was actually a midget in there with a machine gun. A sparrow with a machine gun.
Those jokes, man.
Yeah.
I don't.
The riddles that only made sense to them.
Yeah.
It was out at sea. Sea is for Catwoman.
Yeah. So, yeah. The opening riddles, the opening just whatever.
When they decided that all four of the villains were together.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. I can't. Like,
do you remember that one scene where Dick gets jealous of the pussy on Batman?
Yep. He had to shut off his voyeur camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The entire time he's just like, I know I shouldn't be watching this. This is making me very uncomfortable.
So bad.
I'm sorry, Jesus.
Also, Bruce Wayne can't decide to change his Batman voice. Just talk to everybody in a normal voice. Because apparently no one thinks that Batman has a secret identity.
Yeah. Between that and, like, the idea that a small... Like, I realize the time in which it's set and comic book logic. But, like, Robin has the same hairstyle.
Right?
Whether or not. And all he's got is, like, this little tiny strip across his face to cover it up.
Hairstyle, jawline, build.
Yeah, like, everything about it. It's, like, it's very obvious that, like, if you saw Dick Grayson and Robin, like, they are the same person. But, no, it's the magic of you put, a mask
on. Put the domino mask on and you're good.
No one can find it.
It's almost like reading glasses or eyeglasses.
Ease up there, Superman hater.
Oh, yeah, this is my second dig at Superman.
Yeah, it is. Because even when the villains were trying to kidnap Bruce Wayne, Joker comes in with a domino mask.
Yeah, that was funny as hell.
Okay, so I don't know who this guy is. Even though he's wearing a purple suit, he's got plaster white skin and green hair. Who could that be?
And the white painted mustache.
And the white painted mustache.
Yep. My thing about it was Bruce Wayne literally kicks everybody's ass in the submarine or in the houseboat or whatever the hell they were on. And nobody blinks an eye that he fights just as well as Batman.
So
I've got a personal trainer.
He had to have. Had to have a personal trainer. I mean, to be that svelte, I guess. I don't know, dude. It was awesome though. Like I
thought it was great.
I liked it. Any scenes that stuck out to you? Any other?
The wet bat dream.
Yes.
Did anyone else just assume she was giving him an over the pants handy the entire time? Cause that was my impression. It was just like off screen, not happening, but it was just like, I've been in that situation before and I'm pretty sure that was happening.
I know that throughout that whole scene, she was playing with her little pussy. So
yeah, she,
yeah.
Also, I feel bad for the horse cause that camera that Robin and Alfred were watching had been shoved up his ass.
Right up.
So that they had a picture of them in that carriage.
Yep.
How about the scene where Bruce Wayne kills the pirate?
Yes. So will this be our first instance of a hero killing? Is that on our bingo?
It's not, but it should be.
It should be. So Bruce Wayne is, he's fighting in the little houseboat thing. And he punches the guy onto the trap that then shoots him out the window into the exploding octopus. Because why not?
Oh, we didn't even cover the exploding shark yet.
We'll get to the exploding shark. So he kills. That's our first instance of him killing.
Right. But technically, so Batman logic here, right? It's not his fault.
Okay.
He threw a punch that dazed a guy who happened to stumble back accidentally, landing on a trap that he did not know what would happen, launching him through the air. And the second he goes out the window, he's no longer responsible. You know what I mean? Like the second, like the second a quarterback lets go of the ball, it's no longer his responsibility. Ask any quarterback.
So, because I'm so good at fighting, I make the bad guys tired and they go to sleep.
So he went out the window. Nobody knows if he actually died or not. Bruce Wayne is not held responsible for that murder, clearly.
No pirates are harmed in the making of this movie.
Although I will give the pirates credit for being able to play the violin really well at the restaurant.
Right?
Like they were straight up pirates with their pirate do-rags.
Was that sleeping at the opium or the slow dancing at the opium den? Because that's what it was. Like. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was messed the fuck up.
That was weird. I was like, where are we? What is going on in this movie?
They're singing romantic French music. Like,
it just sounds terrible.
It did not sound romantic at all.
Also, where the fuck did Robin get the sword to throw to Batman for the sword fight with the Penguin?
Pretty sure it was just hanging somewhere.
Hold on a second. I think I've got it right. Was that your utility belt? Yes. Yes, it was.
If we've learned anything, Robin has literally anything to give Batman. All Robin is to Batman is a drug mule at this point. Like, just I yell it out and I need you to throw it to me. That's all you're responsible for.
Oh, I love it. Let's go into some fun facts I got out of this film. This was originally planned as a pilot movie. It was supposed to happen before the show took place. But apparently the movie was instead produced between the show's first and second season. And so they were able to take advantage of the larger budget, like I said, and it was able to get better gadgets. One of the reasons why it wasn't a pilot movie and just became in between one and two was the studio, I guess, greenlit it and wanted to move it up quicker. So that's kind of why they had to push the movie back.
I'm glad they did.
Well, honestly, this would have been, and obviously they moved the script around. Like, this wouldn't have been the script for the first movie. But
I just meant for the bigger budget so we could have exploding octopuses and exploding sharks.
Exploding sharks. You want to get into the shark real quick before I continue on with these fun facts?
Okay. So during my quick overview of the movie, I said a yacht disappears. Well, the yacht disappears as Batman is getting ready to lower himself on it from the Batcopter. And he instead dips into the water. And as soon as he goes into the water, this shark bites onto his leg.
Bites onto his knee. It's lashed onto his knee.
Like right into the thigh, like right into the meaty part, you know. And it's hanging there. And he is beating the hell out of the shark. And then he calls up to Robin and asks for the bat shark repellent spray.
Yep.
I love it. Which there were five different repellents in the copter.
Well, yeah. They had manta ray, barracuda, whale,
shark repellent,
I think it was four.
Either way, they had a multitude of different repellents.
I mean, they were specific to an animal. They were prepared.
But
as soon as Batman sprays the shark repellent, the shark falls into the water and explodes.
Yep.
Because apparently the Penguin has some kind of fetish with shoving explosives into animals.
Pretty sure that's not the only thing he shoves into animals.
Is that why Catwoman kept staying away from him?
Probably.
Okay. Anywho.
So I talked about the Batboat earlier. Apparently it was built especially for the film by the Glastron? Sure.
The Glastron boat company?
In exchange for their cooperation, the producers agreed to hold the film's world premiere in Austin, Texas, that's where their headquarters is at. However, the movie was scheduled to premiere in Austin on August 1st, 1966. The premiere was postponed because earlier that same day, a disturbed University of Texas student and former Marine named Charles Whitman went to the observation deck of the school's clock tower and opened fire on the campus, killing 16 people and wounding 32 others before being shot to death himself by the police.
Oh, come on. They didn't have things like that back in the 60s. That's when everybody was fantastic and nobody ever did anything bad. It's video games that make us violent.
Yep,
they didn't have video games back then.
Oh, I love it.
Anyway.
He's not wrong.
I mean, no, he's not. No. A follow-up film was at one point considered. The film would have been released between seasons 2 and 3 and would have been used to introduce Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, and make use of a Batplane. Due to waning interest in the series during season 2, which resulted in budget cuts, plans for the second film were scratched. So when we did get Batgirl in season 3, it was just almost kind of shoved in, which kind of sucked.
Speaking of shoved in Batgirl, I watched Killing Joke the other day.
We talked about that.
I know, but the Batgirl shoved in Batgirl.
Anyway. Filming of the movie began...
Bruce, how could you, dirty pervert? Anyways.
Okay, so filming of the movie began before Lee Meriwether was cast for the movie. As a result, Catwoman does not appear with the other villains in the first scene aboard Penguin's submarine. Which, can we just talk about that submarine for a quick second?
What the fuck?
That looked amazing.
It was a toy.
Well, yes. But the fact that he acquired the submarine, what was it? The subatomic?
Preatomic
submarine.
Preatomic submarine that he bought from the U.S. Navy, and they could not believe that they sold it to a, what was it? P.E. Engwin or something like that?
You didn't even get their full address.
Yeah, just got a P.O. box.
I just got a P.O. box. But it's totally fine. Don't worry about it. We sent it to the P.O. box.
60s. Of course, we're also talking about this Marine naval captain who is sitting in his office playing hopscotch with some
secretary.
I don't know what the fuck it was.
I couldn't tell what they were playing either. I think that he was playing something where they tried to stick something in a hole with the secretary.
I think, yeah, that sounds about right. put it in the secretary's box.
Yeah. Yep. I need a secretary.
Let's see here.
Which, actually, now that you mention that, what I absolutely loved, this overarching thing that they did throughout the movie, which I know that was never intentional, but I just giggled at it, is here are embodiments of authority. Here are the police officers. Here's the military. Here's the naval. They're all fucking stupid. And,
right?
and Batman and Robin are just like, no, we support them. Thumbs up, and you should too. But we have a budget, and we're going to do everything better than them, and they're actually just going to sit around and just fuck off all day while we solve all the crimes.
And that's the thing. Like, thinking back on it, Commissioner Gordon just sits in his office all day.
Yeah.
And then he waits on the phone call for Batman. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all he does.
Oh, and then he shows up to Wayne Manor, and Bruce is like, you should probably go back to your office and see if Batman calls you.
Yeah.
By Joe, you're right. Let's go back.
And he just rushes off. Like, come on, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey. Look, this just goes to show you that police always listen to rich people.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
This doesn't change, that, man.
Some things never change in America.
No, they don't. Adam West was initially reluctant about making the movie. He decided to do it when told by producers that without his involvement in the film, the part of Batman Bruce Wayne would be recast.
Oh,
yeah.
Snap.
He also, I think at one point, if I remember reading, I didn't have it in the notes here, but he did the movie under the condition that they show more of Bruce Wayne than Batman, probably because the show, he's more Batman than Bruce Wayne. Well, yes, but I think he wanted to try and show that there's two sides to this character.
There weren't, though.
There really wasn't.
No.
Oh, I also have in my notes that we had the first appearance of King Shark.
Yes, with the exploding shark.
that was pre-mutation.
So what you're saying is that this new Suicide Squad movie coming out next year. No, sorry, this year, because it's coming out in February. January.
Yeah.
Fuck, when is
it? Dude, it's 2 days away. Fuck.
King Shark showed up here first.
Yeah.
Before Suicide Squad. I love it. Love that thought. Let's see here. My last little tidbit. The promotional poster features Batman dressed in a different costume from the TV series, with a black mask, cape, gloves, boots, and outerwear briefs with red tights instead of gray. This is not an error, but a tribute to the original costume design by Bob Kane to create Batman. Later, it was revised by the cartoonist Bill Finger, who changed the color of tights from red to gray, giving him his definitive appearance for his first issue in the Detective Comics, dated in May of 1939. So I actually did look at the poster, and yeah, it looks just like that the original, awesome. Which is pretty amazing.
One other scene I forgot to cover was the dolphin that sacrifices itself to save Batman and Robin.
Yeah, they're stuck to the buoy after they're trying to look for fingerprints on this illegal buoy that's not supposed to be at that spot in the Gotham Bay, wherever the hell it is.
Which I love, because Robin was literally just smashing buttons trying to look it up, like this makes any sense. And then he goes, "You're right, that's not supposed to be there. They're just blinking lights. That literally did not tell you a fucking thing. You're a liar."
But it made Batman feel better to know that he was, you know, vindicated.
Exactly. I mean, Batman's always right.
Right.
Just now he's got a yes man to tell him he's right.
Yeah, pretty much Robin is there to just do all the technology because Batman's too old, and to throw him things that he needs in a fight. That's all he's there for.
Yeah, there's other things he's there for too. But at the very end, when he's having Robin hook up all the devices to the dehydrated UN members, and then he stands there and tells Robin to, all right, put the hose on. All right, turn on the water. Like,
yep.
He's got no, his hands are clean in the situation.
Yep. He does.
Robin did it.
It fucks up, and Robin fucked it all up.
And the thing is like, he walks around and he checks them. He just like daintily like touches them and goes, yep. Okay.
Looks good.
Yep. Okay. Perfect. Yes. It's like, what is happening?
I did like when they were, after they saved the UN members the first time, the vials of the dust, and then the Commodore like spills it all.
Mm-hmm.
They have this, what was it called? I can't remember what it was called.
The dust molecular separator. Yeah.
Whatever. So they go to turn it on.
Everything is labeled.
Well, yes. Everything is labeled. It has to be. I think that was more, I mean, obviously even they did it in the show, but I think it also helped because the show itself was aimed toward the younger audience. It helped their reading prowess, maybe. Like, it helped them understand what was what. Like, it was a legit reason. We look back on it with our 2020
vision.
Damn, yes. But our 21st century mentality, and it makes no sense.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that's
so
the
60s
in general, though.
Not wrong. But he's got this device. And he's getting ready to hit the button, and he puts his mask on, but he doesn't put it over his nose.
Yeah, like his mask actually just hangs just slightly low enough, so it looks weird.
Like, I mean,
come on, Batman!
Think about it, guys. He's a millionaire who supports police. Of course, he's not going to wear his mask, right?
You are ruining what I thought Batman ever was.
You really want to have it ruined? So I read this thing online where it was like, you've got Batman, who's this millionaire who wants to help people. And instead of using his money to help people, he dresses in a fucking bat suit and becomes a super cop.
Yep.
Yeah, that's very fair. That's absolutely fair. Yep.
One last thing, and then I'll let you guys pick up your last little
We got to do the Batman bingo.
We'll get there. Years ago, so when I was in high school.
Years ago.
I'm coming up to my 20th anniversary this year.
Damn, Gramps.
Right. I came across this website that somebody...
You've came across a lot of websites, I'm sure.
Oh, I can't. Yes, but that's not the point. Somebody decided to make like their own Batman script, and it is very 66 mentality, but with like just all of Batman's... like just all the jokiness, but all of the villains from the like Batman, Batman Returns, Batman and Robin, Batman Forever, all that stuff. I copied it. I actually printed it off at school, so I didn't have
yes. to. Yes, I used to do that shit all the time.
Fuck yeah!
I still do it at work.
It was like 60 fucking pages. I originally was gonna like cheat on some project and turn it in as my project, but decided against that.
Good call.
Yeah,
Batman would have been disappointed in you.
That's fine. I was in high school. I needed an A. I haven't copied somewhere. I want to find it. I want to send it to you guys because it is fucking amazing. Like one point similar to this movie where Batman and Robin decide like figure out that Joker, Penguin, Riddler, and Catwoman were all in this together by, oh, they were at sea and the sea is for Catwoman. Similar situation. Like it's, there was a table and what's on a table? Two legs. Two-Face was involved. Oh, and then this bird, what's that bird doing? Oh, it's flapping its wings like a penguin. Like, it's just so bonkers, and I loved it. If I can find it, I'll send it to both of you.
You guys can check it out since you brought it up.
Oh, I'm going to. Like I said, I gotta see if it's still online though. Like, I have a copy of it somewhere in this house. I just don't know where. Charlie, is there any other scenes that you you want to touch on?
The only other thing I haven't actually talked about yet was just one of the best quotes I'd ever heard in my entire life. And this was, I believe, after they had gotten a hold of the dehydrated world leaders. And I don't remember who's in the car with him, but it's Batman. It must have been Robin next to him. But he says something about we have to be very careful. And the last line he says so nonchalantly before they cut away to the next scene is, just remember, every one of them has a mother. Like,
that was Penguin talking to Catwoman as they were
The
only reason I say that is because it was in some of the trivia I saw, and allegedly a lot of Penguin's lines were pulled from other properties and just shoved in here. I don't know why, but yes, Penguin says that.
Okay, so it was even fucking weirder than it needed to be because it's Penguin.
It was during the guinea pigs, like when they're taking the guinea pig dust up, putting them in the vials, where Catwoman was pouring it into the funnel and it was going everywhere.
Yes, okay, that's, yes.
Yeah, but she was being very careful.
I was still waiting for Catwoman to walk up there, start pawing through the litter and then like use it, so.
I mean, I'm kind of surprised she didn't either.
Other than that, the last scene, right? They rehydrate everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just now they're talking in different languages and things like that. Like, you know, that's the horrible thing that has happened. We got them back. They're not mutated or anything. Nobody's missing any body parts. They're just speaking the opposite languages than they're supposed to be.
There's one grain, you noticed one that brain too. Cell.
Like the German guy was speaking.
Was speaking Japanese. No, America was speaking Japanese.
The American was speaking Japanese. The German guy was speaking. What are they speaking? Jerusalem.
Hebrew.
Thank you. I'm like, oh yeah, this was very shortly after World War II.
Yep.
20 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're just like, and this is what I love about Batman, right? The idea that he can't take blame for anything, and he's just like, well, we've messed this up. But in actuality, this could be the best thing the world has ever happened, had happened to them. Quickly. Yep. Let's just nonchalantly leave.
Inconspicuously.
And go out the door.
Walk right between the groups.
I know. Like, and then they rappelled down the building, and that's it. The fucking movie over, because this made total sense. Yeah, what a weird ending to this movie. I don't know what they were trying to accomplish at the end of that. Also, I love that these world leaders, when they, I love in the beginning, when we first get the world leaders dehydrated, all the villains walk into the room. They do not even acknowledge that they're standing there. They then proceed to get laser beamed, and they are still arguing. Like, oh, it's just one less person I got to argue with now. Like, why? Why are you not pushing a button? Why are you not freaking out? Also, Penguin apparently can just hold his breath for a ridiculous amount of time while he shoots knockout gas all through a building and he's taking out all the guards. And then
he takes his pill as a suppository.
Oh, okay, that makes a lot more sense because he sprays the whole area, then while they're in the room that's filled with gas, I believe says to Catwoman, well, hold your breath because we got to go through this room that's full of gas.
Yep.
Like, I realize it's back in the day, people were not going to overanalyze nonsense like that because they were just going to enjoy the movie of a series that was already over the top ridiculous. But come on, nobody was sitting around being like, this doesn't actually make any sense. Even in comic book logic, this doesn't make any sense.
That's like, you're definitely taking comic book logic and throwing it out the window. So for this, for really the whole series.
Yeah. Well, I mean, comic book logic does lead us into, you know, our bingo.
Well, I was going to say one more thing.
Yes.
About how Penguin is Batman's ultimate villain in this thing.
Oh, because he knew everything that Batman has.
Everything Batman had. Everything that happened. Batman must have used his anti-air missile defense thing. And, like, dude.
He's jamming our signals with his bat belt.
It's amazing. I loved it. But yes, bingo. Our superhero bingo.
So, we had comic book logic. We can take Batman
kills off there, so.
Huh?
We can take the Batman kills. Charlie had a good
Yeah, Batman still killed him. I watched it happen. We had comic logic with the whole entire fucking movie.
Yes.
Also, Unexplainable Science.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Betrayal by a Friend, we're counting because Catwoman pretended to be Kitka. Which, you know, kitty cat, Kitka.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah. But, and then betrayed Bruce to, you know, the other guys. Identity Reveal, where we find out that, you know, Batwoman or Catwoman is Kitka.
Yep.
We had the villain monologue where all the villains were trying to talk about their dastardly deeds all at the same time.
Dude, and it worked. I'm not gonna lie, it worked.
And then that's the bingo right there. That's even the five. Without Batman being a vicious murdering psychopath.
Well, okay, if you want to talk about Batman kills, I would say that maybe when Penguin rehydrated his guinea pigs in the bat.
Oh, all five cave, of them, yeah, and they just popped like bubbles.
He
yeah.
did kick one of them and he died. He didn't realize that was gonna happen, but he still did it. So let's go with that. Let's go with that Batman kills.
There and also, all this is like doing is like showing the importance of like water filtration systems. I'm surprised there was no like sponsorship at that point. Because
that's actually bingo, but we didn't have it. Product placement.
Yeah, product. Because like
product, so yeah.
Yeah, if this was a 2020 movie, that would have been like a Brita filtration system. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm surprised it wasn't a Batman filtration system. Like, yeah. that could have been private. Although,
not I mind. Think it said like Batman water like, district like just
yes
filter or whatever it said on it.
Maybe okay.
There was definitely a sign because there was a sign all over fucking everywhere.
I think do we have anything else?
Rating the movie.
Okay. So yeah, so this is our rating. We're gonna do a 1 out of 10. Chuck?
Did you say a 1 out of 10? How about a 1 through 10? 1 out of 10.
Oh, yeah, 1 through 10. Sorry. My bad.
Okay, so I have a very curve when it comes to grading, and that is nostalgia will always score you more points if you lived and you know what I mean? Because, like, if I love something from the past and then I bring it to somebody current who had never seen it, I know that my score will always be higher than theirs. That being said, generously, I'm going to give this maybe, like, a 3.6. Like, like I almost fell asleep during it, which really bummed me out.
I had to wake his ass up.
Yeah,
he's like, "Are you falling asleep?" And I'm like, "Nope."
And I don't know why I almost fell asleep through it, because I was excited to see this. You know what I mean? Like,
when I brought it up to you, you were so happy. Like,
I was so excited. I was like, "Hell yeah! This is what I was like. I remember the stupid fucking awkward ending. I loved everything about it. Although there were parts that I remember being in this movie that weren't. Like, I remember the Surf's Up Batman, which must have been an episode that I had watched. The
dancing, like, with
the Bat-Toozie. Yeah. And, like, the Bat-Toozie yeah. dance, I thought that was in this movie that I don't
remember.
So everything just started blurring. Because when they started slow dancing, I was like, oh, these pirate violinists are about to break the hottest beat, and those guys are going to Bat-Toozie. And I was like, yeah, that's totally good. And then it never happened. So I was like, oh, shit, okay, so maybe I'm wrong, and I don't remember parts of, you know, and everything got shifted in and stuff. Especially with the shark. I knew the shark attack was happening. I was like, yeah, this is when Surf's Up Batman happens. And he has the yellow shorts. And then the Joker comes in and he's got like the Joker shorts on. And like, that was the whole joke. Apparently not. Apparently that was just an episode that I don't remember. I would say that I would not even show this to somebody as a joke, as like a, hey, you want to see like a really ridiculous movie? Because they're not going to be friends with me anymore, for sure. Like, they are not going to want to talk to me ever again. With that being said, I still loved it. Like, I still remember loving it as I was younger. So like 3.6, 3.7, I would put it at, you never do round numbers. So like I put it as, and that's being, I mean, maybe a little stingy, but I just,
You want 3.65? Is that what you want?
Yeah, I'm going to go with 3.65. That's perfect. This is what I'll say. If I went to the movie theater and paid full price for this, I would be pissed. I'm a little pissed that I paid $4 for it. But even then,
I can give you that back.
No. Like, I'm happy to pay the $4 to come on the show. You know what I mean? Like, consider this my Patreon, like, subscription for you guys for the month. But, like, I don't remember it being this bad, and I clearly must have watched it with the right people who are just like, yeah, don't you get it? It's fucking hilarious, and like, this is satire, and they're, blah, 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 and it's like, I remember sitting here watching it now, and just I stopped taking notes, because I'm like, I can't even keep up taking notes. Like, this is it's so bad that it's not even good. It's just awkwardly bad at this point. But it has shining moments, you know what I mean? Like, it has things in it that we carry over to this day that we still make reference to, right? That, like, Batman has a fucking gadget for everything, and that Robin is just his drug mule weapon thrower who he might have just some type of weird, awkward sexual relationship with, and just like little things like that. It was really honed in here, but yeah, like a 3.65. That's where I'm at.
I love it, Rival.
I'm giving it a 5, and it was a horribly storylined movie. There were some really funny parts. There were some really dumb parts. The acting was fantastically horrible. So a solid 5.
Okay. I'm going to give a 4.2.
I was waiting for like a 10 because it's Batman.
Fuck off. I enjoyed the movie. It's definitely not one I'll watch anytime soon, but I have no problem watching it again. Yeah, it's been about damn near 30 years since I watched it, but that's also because I was in school. I don't know. I just had that time to watch it.
Right.
And nostalgia is a big thing. Like, I remember watching it. I remember watching some of the show. You see clips or GIFs on the internet constantly for what is from the show, like from the show, from the movie. Hell, the Batman and the shark and the shark repellent. Everybody knows about that. Everybody knows that joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere. It's still going into it, knowing how campy it is. It's fine. But that's really about it. Like,
that's where it stops. It stops at the meme.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think it's because it's so popular meme wise is because literally the people who share it have never seen the movie.
I think so.
Like, a lot of the time they're just like, oh, this is funny because like it's what my dad or grandpa, depending on the age of the person, grew up with. And like, this is Batman to them. Ha ha ha. If they watched that movie, they would never share those gifts ever again until it became too cool. Then it's like, oh, no, but it's Adam West's birthday, so let's just share all of these gifts all over again. Right. You know what I mean? Yep. So
with our combined scores, that puts us at a 4.28. Which is,
I think,
just above Superman and the Mole Man, which definitely needs to be above that.
Yeah.
But it's,
I'd have had to change my score if it would have been lower than that.
But it's also just below The Amazing Spider-Man from 77.
Naturally, Batman is lower than Spider-Man.
We will
get, oh my God, think about it. Spider-Man, then Batman, then Superman. That's a sign.
You also have 1951 with Superman, 1966 with Batman, and 77 with Spider-Man. Come on. I mean, I'll get it. They're getting better.
But I wonder what the budgets were on each of those.
I gave you the budgets.
Yeah, I don't remember that far back.
Yes. Okay, fine.
I don't write that shit down.
Thanks. More work for me, huh? So yeah, so that puts us.
That's why you make the big bucks.
I mean, we'll get an actual rundown of where everything sits. I think when we get through our first 10 movies. But right now, this is our sixth one, so we got 4 more to go. Mm-hmm. I'll get that out here in May, April, whatever, because this is coming out. This is, you know, middle of January when this one comes out. So I got some time. And I think that does it for the show. Charlie, thanks for coming on, man. And would you like to tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, you know what?
Not your address, like online.
Right. Yeah, I am. I am nothing if I am not a shill for my, you know, and a mark for my own products and things I create. So I am the host of a show called Elite 8 Showdown, where we create a 8 subject bracket on literally anything and everything in the world. At the time that this will be dropping, our show will be because we record months in advance.
So,
trust me, we hear about it a lot. Like, everybody's insult is, well, they record like a month in advance. Oh, fucking idiot. Well, like, yeah, sorry, we'll make a time
about them now, and then they'll respond in 2 months.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, yeah, I'm very well aware. Like, that's just how structurally we have to do it, because where my show can be found is professionalcasual.com, or just look up Elite 8 Showdown on any podcasting network. We're all over there, but the website professionalcasual.com, where you can find all the other metric ton of content that gets put out by the crew over there at that. Space Between Presents. If you like Dungeons and Dragons, they have a bunch of live play stuff over there too, which is blowing up. So, but yeah, I'm the black sheep of the family, because I'm not necessarily the nerdiest show in comparison. We pretty much just shit talk all of our friends on that show, because literally nobody listens to it except for like you guys and Wreck My Podcast, and then hundreds of people in India. So
I love the show, though. It's so much fun. Hell yeah. I've been on it. It's great.
Yeah. If you want, hey, if you're listening, you need any reason to go listen to an episode, go listen to the weirdest comic book, crossovers with Joe and I think is probably one of our best episodes we've ever done. It was a great deep dive into just some weird obscure things. We also did one that was worst comic book, I think it was villains by the time we were actually done with it, or worst comic book characters. Yeah,
I sent you a picture of like the books I have for your upcoming ideas.
Yeah. We ended up calling that like part one of like an infinite number of times that we're going to probably do that. We had things like asbestos girl versus like Hell Cow and things like that. And I pretty much just shit on Tim for liking Deadpool. It was pretty much the extent of that entire episode. So, but you can check it out. professionalcasual.com. All the stuff is up there. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love you guys. I love the Elite 8. I'm getting more into some of the professional casual stuff. So yes, Tim, I do listen to all your things.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the thing. I can guarantee you that Tim does not listen to half the things he says he does. And I'm willing to say that, because he's not going to listen to this episode that I'm on.
Not just because you're not on it, but I'm doing comic book movies, and a lot of people like comic book movies. So maybe They seem to be my better download wise. They seem to be the episodes that get the most downloads. So that's a good sign,
right? And that's a really good smart sign. And most importantly, you know, we can sprinkle that Elite 8 dust on you. You know, we already started plugging it on our show because we're a month ahead of time. So we'll get those views up in India for you, buddy. I promise.
Yes. So everybody, go check out Elite 8 Showdown. Wonderful show. I love it. I'm still working on another showdown for you.
Fantastic.
Because I know you...
I have literally burnt through my list already, so I am scraping some weeks to get a show out. So
okay, yeah, I'll get some stuff to you.
Have you done the comic book TV shows yet?
See, that's one thing I was going to do, was TV shows that had one season.
Ooh, actually,
damn.
Good.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to put Firefly on that, because that one would win.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if it would, because Tim is not a huge Firefly fan.
Oh.
So Tim actually doesn't like anything that pretty much doesn't have Jonah Hill in it, from what I've figured out.
Does Tim look like Jonah Hill?
No.
Okay, thank goodness.
No, Tim is just a white bald man with a beard sometimes.
So I love it. But yeah, so guys, go check out Big Chuck's show. Thanks for listening. Our next movie we've got coming out will be Danger Diabolic.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch that.
We already recorded
that one. I got to be honest, because if this is the show that I'm going to ask you guys this question, it's here.
Okay.
Have you guys ever heard of the Dazzler movie that never got made?
As in, like, the X-Men Dazzler?
Yes. It was.
I feel like I have.
It was supposed to be released in, like, I think the late 70s or early 80s, whenever I think the reboot of Disco had come out, and it has people, like, kissing it, and it has Richard Pryor as the villain. And the script, yeah,
fantastic.
And the script got released not that long ago, and it sounded absolutely insane. So if you guys can hunt it down, I highly recommend taking a look at it, because it is the people that they casted for it is wild. And like, Kiss is supposed to be villains, and Richard Pryor was supposed to be a villain. And I don't remember off the top of my head who was supposed to play Dazzler, but when you hear that name, you're going to be like, why was this never made? And it was supposed to be to push all the people who had albums to this one company. They were backing it. They had gotten the licensing for the Dazzler and just pushed it. And then like, there was all these issues with the director not wanting to release the movie and was getting pissed because things were getting changed, because like Marvel was like, nah, we don't want that. We don't want this. And
Robin Williams.
Yeah. Sure? It was fucking wild.
Sharon Robin Williams.
What?
Yeah, it's super crazy. It's super crazy. So definitely check that out.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. Thanks. That's a good nugget to leave on. So if everybody who's listening, go find this this Dazzler script. We'll find it too.
Holy shit, Rodney Dangerfield.
So literally just everybody that was popular in the 70s and 80s.
The Village People.
God damn. Okay.
Oh, and Bo Derek was the Dazzler.
Bo Derek, that's who it was. Yep.
That makes more sense than Cher.
I think Cher played like a villain.
Cher was the Witch Queen.
Ah,
yeah.
Interesting. And Donna Summer was the Queen of Fire. And Kiss was the Dead Knights.
Dude.
It's super wild. It's super weird.
We'll have to check that out. And that will be that for this show.